I would like you to go to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And we're still talking about faith and healing. But you know, sometimes in order to best understand something, it's good to go back and see how it operated in certain individuals. And we're just going to look at one individual tonight, the faith of Abraham. How many know that Abraham was a man of faith? He got results, didn't he? You know, faith always gets results. And faith has nothing to do with time. Amen? Time is not a factor when faith is concerned. How long did Abraham wait for the manifestation of Isaac? 25 years. He was 75 when God spoke to him, and he was 100 when Isaac was born. As long as you stay in faith, what you're believing for has no expiration date. Amen? So don't get nervous about time, because God is eternal. And he has ways of overcoming time. In Galatians chapter 3, we're going to begin here this evening. He says, O foolish Galatians, verse 1, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You know, when someone's not obeying the truth, there's another force at work. Amen? And before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So did they have evidence of the life of Jesus? Did they have reason to believe in Jesus? Because they had evidence, but they stopped obeying the truth. Okay? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Hearing of faith. How do you get the Spirit of God? Do you get it by working or do you get it by faith? Right. It does not come. Does salvation come by you working for it? Absolutely not. It comes by faith. Okay? It comes by you receiving what God said. And he goes on to say, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then he goes back to our example, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Do you know that even when Abraham tried to work a miracle, it came out wrong? It was called Ishmael. That was Abraham's idea. He thought that he would help God out. And Sarah offered him his maid, and Abraham said, okay. Why didn't Abraham argue with that offer? Hey, if my wife approves it, it must be good for me. Right? No. Abraham had to have a son by faith, not by the flesh. It had to be of God and not of Abraham. And even though Abraham messed it up, that didn't stop God from working, did it? Nope, because eventually Abraham finally got a hold of it and Isaac was born. So, you know, that's hope for us. If you're believing for God and you mess things up, that doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean it's done. Amen? Because you can... You know, there is a redemption. God can redeem some things. He can redeem some mistakes. And he goes on to say, okay, he said, Abraham believed God. What did his believing God get him? What did Abraham receive as a result of believing God? Righteousness. Okay? It was accounted unto him for righteousness. So in other words, when Abraham used his faith, God exchanged Abraham's faith and gave him righteousness. That's a pretty good deal. Okay? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So what qualifies a person to be a child of Abraham? By faith. That means to believe God, to trust God. When when you're believing God, you're a child of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Did you know that when God was saying that to Abraham, he was basically giving him the gospel? When did all the nations get blessed as a result of Abraham? When Abraham gave his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. When Abraham gave his son, Abraham saw how God was going to give his son. And that's how all the nations of the earth were blessed, through Abraham. Because if there wasn't Abraham, we wouldn't have had Christ. And I'll show you why. Okay? Notice the scripture foresaw. God knows the end before the beginning, right? Because faith is focused on the eternal. Faith sees beyond what you see right here. Faith can see that God's word is a reality. It's real. In other words, what God says is tangible through faith. Does that make sense? If you wanted to study the stars, what tool could you use to help you? Telescope. Why? It enhances your vision. It allows you to see something that you can't see with the natural eye. If you wanted to look at a small, tiny particle, what tool could you use to help you? A microscope. It causes something you can't see with your natural eye to be seen through the tool of a microscope. Faith is just like the telescope. It's just like the microscope. It'll help you see things that you can't see with your natural eye. That's pretty cool, God. I didn't think of that until right now. Thank you, Lord. So then, now this ought to get you excited right here, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are what? Say, I'm blessed because I'm of faith. By simply believing God, you're blessed. God blesses those who believe him, who trust him, who rely on him, who lean on him, who know that what he says can't go any other way. What God says will happen, and I don't care what happens around it. What God's word says will happen in spite of what I see happening. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law. In the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by what? So faith is a lifestyle. It's how you live every day. Faith is not something you do on occasion. In order for faith to really work in your life, it has to be consistent. You've got to choose to live like God has told us how to live in His Word. Any departure from that, you know, it's like baking a cake that's missing an ingredient. You know, when you make something and you're like, it's missing something. In other words, something wasn't put in there and it affects the flavor. When we're inconsistent in our life of believing God, when we go to operate in faith and there's something missing, it just doesn't come out quite like it should because of that missing ingredient. Amen? And some of you are so good cooks, you taste it and you're like, oh, it's missing this. And then when you add this, it's like, oh, there we go. Then your taste buds are going, right on, amen, yeah. Okay. Why did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? Verses 13 and 14. The question is, why did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? What results from His redeeming us from the curse of the law? Verse 14, what does it say? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who's a Gentile? We are Gentiles. I like to say I'm an adopted Jew. I've been engrafted in. I work for a rich Jew. His retirement plan, by the way, is out of this world. You know, and he's got health insurance. It's called By His Stripes You Are Healed. See, he provides health assurance, not health insurance. Okay? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is the blessing of Abraham? Well, let's read it. Let's go to Genesis 12. And let's read the blessing of Abraham. Because this is the blessing that God wants to bring on you. Notice, is that blessing automatic? Did He say it will automatically come on you or it might come on you? What's going to make the difference for it to come on you? Faith. You must add faith in order to receive the blessing of Abraham. In other words, you've got to choose to receive the blessing. You've got to activate the blessing. Okay? Genesis 12. Now the Lord, what did He do to Abram? Okay, He said something. Faith comes by what? And hearing what? Okay, Abraham didn't have a written Bible. But he had the ability to know God's voice. Okay? Notice, I love it. Now the Lord says, now faith is. When does faith begin? The minute you hear what God said. If you need faith for healing, the minute you hear that God's word says you can be healed, that's when faith begins. It begins right now. If you need to prosper, the moment you hear that, beloved, it's my will that you prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers, the minute you hear that, that's when faith begins. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house unto something that's familiar with you. Oh, He didn't say that? What did He say? Now, isn't this interesting? God says three things. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. And if Abraham obeys those three things, then he'll be shown where he's going. But if he doesn't obey those three things, notice he said, to a land that I will show you. That means whenever God speaks to you, there's always an element of the unknown, and that's when you have to step out in faith. Now get this. Abraham had to pack up his stuff. He had to load the camels. He had to pack up the luggage. And they said, Abraham, all of his neighbors came over and helped. They said, Abraham, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Look, God just told me to go to leave my father's house, leave my country, my father's house, and my family. Where are you going to go? I don't know. How many of us would still be willing to go, not knowing where we're going to go? That is the element of trust. What evidence did Abraham have to go? Just God's word. Is God's word enough? Was there enough evidence for Abraham to go? He only had God's word. What do you have in your hands or close by you? Is what God said to Abraham anything less than he wrote in his book? Is this book enough evidence to change your situation? Now, he doesn't just tell him to do something, but he tells him what he's going to get. Verse 2. And I will make you of you what? Now, if you're going to be made into a great nation, wouldn't you almost have to have kids? Okay. Notice God didn't ask Abraham what he didn't have. Notice what he said. I will make you. Who was going to make Abraham a great nation? So all Abraham had to rely on was what God said and the character of who said it. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a what? Can you be a blessing with nothing? The answer is no. In order to be a blessing, you're going to have something to bless others with. Notice, God said that he was going to make him a blessing. That is an empowerment, an endowment, a divine ability to be able to produce for others. Okay? Verse 3. I will bless them that bless you. So let's just say that less is Abraham. Okay? And because I do something good for Abraham, then that means God's going to do something good for me. So I'm going to be sure that I always do something good for Abraham because I always want God to do something good for me. And isn't that how God still runs his kingdom? When you do something good for those of faith, you're doing it for Abraham because they're children of Abraham by faith. So this promise is still in effect. Oh my goodness, I am getting some hitchhikers, goosebumps. I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You talk about multiplication. He takes one man and he's going to bless every family on the earth. You talk about the power of the blessing, the power of God's multiplication. He's going to take one man, Abraham, because he has faith in what God said, he's then going to bless every family on the earth. My, my, my. Now look at verse 4. How do we know that Abraham believed God? Because of what? He left, exactly. In other words, if God tells you something and you don't act on it, you're not in faith. Faith is going to require action as well as believing it. See, if you really believe something, you're going to have some type of action. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. In other words, he was letting the word of God guide him. He left as the Lord spoke to him. Okay? And I can't get into every detail of Abraham, but go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. You know what's amazing? What's amazing is how many New Testament references there are to Abraham. Romans chapter 4 tells us a little bit more detail about how Abraham believed God. Okay? Verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? Notice, how does God define Abraham's faith? As what said? Verse 3. As what said? The Word of God or Scripture. Very good. So how is God going to define your faith? How you believe the Scripture. How does what you do line up with this Word? How do your actions line up with this Word? How do your thoughts line up with this Word? How do the results line up with the Word? If faith comes by hearing, then you got to let the Word of God define your faith. Okay? Do you see that? Okay? For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It says that. I think it's in Genesis 15. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In other words, the moment Abraham believed God, God credited his account with righteousness. It'd be like a direct deposit. But you didn't have to work for it, you just had to believe for it. See, God's currency works a little bit different than our currency down here. See, we got to work for our currency. Or, if you're an investor, you can make your currency work for you. Right? But you exchange your time, and then another person exchanges their money. You give them their time, they give you your money, right? And there's an exchange. Well, when you give God your faith, you give him what you're believing for. You give him your trust. You give him... You're relying on him, then he gives you what you need. And at this particular time, Abraham was healthy. He needed righteousness. So his belief got him righteousness. Okay? And let's go down. And he actually became righteous before he was circumcised. Circumcision was the outward sign of righteousness. But Abraham got it by faith, so he got it before he was circumcised. This is what Romans 4 is telling us. Okay? Let's go down to verse 13. For the promise, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, God had to preserve righteousness by faith in order for Christ to come. If the righteousness by faith line was broken, how many people did it get down to in Noah's day? There were only 8 people that had the righteousness by faith. But God preserved his righteous line. You can follow that through the Bible, but that's not what we're here to do tonight. Okay. Let's go down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So we could say, because the Bible says it, that Abraham is the father of our faith. In other words, every star in the sky, which represents the spiritual heritage, and every sand on the seashore, which represents the natural heritage of Abraham, he's the father of our faith. Now notice verse 17. Notice the first 4 words. As it is what? I have made you a father of many nations. How did God make Abraham a father of many nations? The word, right? And notice, this phrase wasn't written till a long time after God spoke to Abraham. But because his word is forever settled in heaven, it's still good. Amen? Okay. Notice past tense. I have made you. That's past tense, isn't it? A father of many nations, before him whom he believed. Abraham put his faith in God. His faith wasn't in anything else, was it? His faith couldn't be in his family because he had to leave his family. His faith couldn't be in his heritage because he had to leave his country. His faith couldn't be in anything because God had to take him away. And he didn't know where he was going, so his faith could only be in God. When you're believing for something, put your faith in God. Don't put your faith in others. Don't put your faith in how many people are praying for you. Don't put your faith in this or that. Put your faith in God alone. Don't mix your faith in God with anything else. Otherwise, you'll pollute it. And it's no fun to drink polluted water, is it? One time I was at a Boy Scout camp, and there was sulfur in the water, and every time you went to drink water, it smelled like rotten eggs. Oh, it was terrible. The entire camp, every water source that you got smelled like rotten eggs. Okay? Notice, this is showing us how Abraham believed God. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead. Both Abraham's body and Sarah's body were what? Well, they were dead, but then they were quickened. So you're both all right. See, God quickened them. That word quicken means to make alive. So part of the blessing of Abraham is to be made alive. He had to quicken the dead. He called those things which be not as though they were. God called Abraham a father before he had ever had any children. And I want you to get this. It wasn't until Abraham started calling himself a father that what God said took in his heart. When did Abraham start calling himself a father? When God changed his name to Abraham. The word Abraham means father of many nations. When God gave him a new name, Every time that Abraham introduced himself, he said, "Hi, I'm Abraham." He was calling himself a father of many nations. Isaac wasn't born until he had his name changed. But it's when Abraham, and guess what? The more he called himself Abraham, the more he believed what God said. And the more he believed what God said, the stronger his faith got. And when his faith got really strong, he said, "Hey, Sarah, baby." And they had a date. And Sarah said, "Abraham, honey." He called those things that be not as though they were. If someone is sick, why are you calling yourself sick? What that means is your faith is in your sickness. Is your sickness real? Yes. We're not denying the sickness, but we're simply calling it something else. We're calling it what God says. God says about your sickness, he says it's healed. So when we believe God, we need to start calling ourselves healed, even though our body is sick. Because you're calling those things that be not as though they are. How can you do it? Because God did it. If it's in the Bible, that means you can do it. If it's in the Bible, God authorized you to do what he did. Who against hope believed in hope? Let me read this from the Amplified. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you what, we're getting into this, aren't we? This Romans 4 is giving us a deeper picture of Genesis 12, of how Abraham believed God. And when we know how Abraham believed God, guess what? We can do what he did and get the same results. I got so excited I ripped my page. Verse 17. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed." That's powerful. So listen, what you need, want, and desire, you may not have it now. But by faith, you can get it, and you can call it, and the more you call it, that's going to bring it in. It's like sending a telegram. You're sending God a telegram. You're calling those things that be not as though they are. You're sending a telegram, and you're causing the shipping department in heaven to send it to earth. My goodness, this is good. Now notice, okay, Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. His hope could have been gone because Sarah's womb was dead and his body was dead. Well, our bodies are dead. We can't produce now. We might as well just quit. We might as well just give up. We might as well just, listen, what I believe for didn't work. That is no excuse to quit. Let me tell you something about faith. Faith never quits. Faith never gives up. Faith is persistent. Faith is perseverant. Faith is unwilling to give in. Faith never quits. Say that. Say faith never quits. Say my faith never quits. Now, your body will say quit, but you don't listen to your body. Others may say quit, but you don't listen to others. You listen to God. Let me tell you something. In Abraham's journey, he was ready to quit. Because in Genesis 15, God said, you know, he was talking about how wonderful he is. And God says, you know, I'm going to give you this. And Abraham says, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? He was looking at his what he didn't have. And what did God do? He changed his perspective. He said, come here, boy, let me take you outside. You see those stars? You see those sand? That's all Abraham needed to do. Once he looked at the stars, once he looked at the sand again, he stopped looking at his childlessness. And that was when he believed God. Okay, verse 19. So, he hoped on in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been what? Promised. When you're believing God for something, okay? I want to be a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. I think we need to say that. Say, I want to be a millionaire. Why? The more I have, the more I can bless. I'm not looking to heap up for myself. I want to invest in the kingdom. How many would like to write bigger checks for the things of God? You know, let's believe God for some more zeros. All right, now, okay. In the natural, at this point, I'm not a millionaire. But, you know, I can give you plenty of scriptures on how God wants you to prosper. Abraham was rich, Isaac was rich, Jacob was rich, Jehoshaphat was rich, David was rich, Daniel was rich. I could go on. Solomon was the richest man on the earth at his time. Okay? That's more than two or three witnesses, by the way. Now, as I'm on my way to the manifestation of the millions, I'm going to have opportunities along the way to lose sight of what I want. And the devil is going to tempt me to take his offer behind door number one and not go for the prize. He's going to tempt me to get my eyes over here or get my eyes over here, to turn to the right or turn to the left. Jesus said, don't turn to the right or to the left, right? I'm supposed to look to Jesus. I'm not paying attention to what's here. I'm not paying attention to what's here. My eyes are on him. And if you don't quit, if you don't give up, God, your faith is going to meet you with the manifestation. Because faith works, doesn't it? Okay. Notice now, verse 19. He did not weaken in faith. How many times do you feel like your faith gets weak? It's so hard. Your body's saying, why don't you give up? Your body's like Job's wife, why don't you curse God and die? I mean, his own wife was saying, curse God and die. His friends are coming to, oh, Job, you must have been bad. Bad boy, Job, you must have been bad, or otherwise none of this stuff would have been happening to you. Listen, the devil has lots of ways to try to get you to quit. Don't quit. Abraham did not weaken in faith. Say that. Say, I am not going to weaken in faith. He considered the impotence of his own body. Listen, Abraham didn't ask his body how he felt. I mean, I'm sure his friends would have said, now, Abraham, are you ready to raise a child when you're 100? Things have changed since you were young. They're not like they were. Are you going to be able to play ball when you're 100? He did not consider his own body. Why? Your body didn't give you the promise. God gave you the promise. No one else gave you the promise, but God gave you the promise. You got to only consider what God said. Do not take your eyes off the prize. The prize is the Word of God. Okay? His body was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, and or he didn't consider the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise. To stagger is to waver. You know, drunken men stagger. Right? Faith doesn't stagger. Faith is like a laser beam. Faith takes aim. And when you take aim and you pull the trigger, you know, a sniper, they take into consideration the wind, the distance, the height. They take all that into consideration. But when they take the shot, I guarantee you they hit the target. They're trained to hit the target. Faith always hits the target. Okay? He did not stagger at the promise of God. To stagger means to unbelieve. That'd be like, how many has ever had a thread on your shirt that you pulled and you wish you never pulled that thread? Because it's attached to other threads, and you're all, before your eyes, your garment starts to unravel. Too many people unravel their faith. Don't unravel your faith. Okay? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. See, you got to keep your faith strong. How do you keep your faith strong? Keep reminding yourself what God said. Keep saying what God said. Keep looking to what God said. Keep hearing what God said. That keeps your faith strong. This is faith food. How did he stay strong in faith? Giving glory to God. Do you know that everywhere that Abraham went, he set up an altar of worship? He kept his faith strong by giving glory to God. See, when you're looking up, your enemy can't distract you. Verse 21. Being fully persuaded. What was he persuaded of? That what he had promised, he was able to perform. So he was persuaded of two things. He was persuaded that what God said, God was able to do. Notice, he wasn't persuaded that him and Sarah could do it on their own. He was persuaded that God could do it. He didn't exactly know how God was going to do it. He just knew that he could do it. He was persuaded. Think about what you're persuaded about. When you make up your mind, and when you make up your mind and you're not, and I know I'm going a little bit over, but I got to get this out. When you make up your mind, you're not moving from this point. What's this point? This point is what God said. I am not moving from what God said. For example, God said that we have authority over serpents and scorpions, which represent the enemy. Right? Serpents and scorpions are poisonous. They're harmful if they bite you or sting you. But we have authority over them. And the word says, over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. I had a demon-possessed person try to kick me one time in Atlanta, Georgia, and his foot was stopped in midair. Let me finish this. When he was fully persuaded that what God promised he was able to do, therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but for us also. Did you know that God wrote this for us? Listen, he wants us to operate in faith, so he showed us how the Father of our faith did it. And if we know how our Father did it, we can do it because we can imitate our Father. Our father is God, but our father of faith is Abraham. I mean, Hebrews talks about Abraham. Romans talks about Abraham. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The rich man was having a conversation with Abraham. He's all throughout the New Testament. Why? Because we are still operating under his covenant that God made with him. If, verse 24, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore, being justified by faith, chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just a quick illustration. Jesus went to the shore and he met a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 15. And she came to him and she only knew him as son of David. She said, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. We don't know how the devil got there. We just know that when the devil comes in, he will grievously vex you. That's why we don't have to give him place. And if he's in your face, you can kick him out. You can tell him to shut up. You can tell him to sit down. Quick story. Lester Sumrall was staying in a place. This demon was shaking the bed. And he shook the bed till it moved across the room. And Lester Sumrall said, in the name of Jesus, go. So the demon left. He said, wait a minute. Come back. Put the bed back where it was. So the demon came back and had to put the bed back where it was. Then he had to go. So this woman, her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She comes to Jesus. His response was nothing. Silence. How many get discouraged if you pray to God and you hear nothing? Do you feel like giving up? See, but when you're really in faith, don't give up. Then, Jesus' associates, they went to the woman, said, Lord, you got to do something about her. She's bugging us. Then Jesus said, well, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Uh-oh, Jesus played the race card. You're of the wrong race. Now, that would have discouraged a few more people, but not faith. See, faith doesn't get discouraged because faith is strengthened by the fruit of the Spirit. Then Jesus said, well, I'm not going to take the children's bread and feed it to dogs. Jesus called me a dog? I don't think so. Isn't that what he did? You can read it in Matthew 15. I don't have time to go there. But faith wouldn't get discouraged at that. Because that woman said, well, you know what, Lord? All I need is a crumb. Even the dogs get the crumbs of their master's table. And if you look at it, first she called him son of David. Now she's calling him Lord. Not only did her perspective of him change, but her faith in him changed. It changed her. It changed her heart. And then finally, Jesus said, you have great faith. Why? Because she hung in there. She refused to quit. She refused to take no for an answer. And that's how we have to be with faith. If it's worth getting, it's worth believing for. Don't let anything interrupt you from believing for whatever you need, want, or desire. If God said it in his word, you can have it. God spoke to Abraham, said, you're going to be a father of many nations, and it took 25 years for him and Sarah. He tried to have a child. He had a child with Hagar, but God said, no, Hagar's not the one. It's Sarah. Oh. You know, sometimes God needs to correct your believing. Because Abraham was believing the wrong thing, and God had to correct his believing. And sometimes God's correction is like a slap in the face. But sometimes a slap in the face is just what you need to wake up. A reality check. God is just looking for anyone. Anyone? 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 To believe him. And to not give up because of their circumstances. Or not to give up because of what others say. Or not to give up because of what you feel. What you feel, what others say, what your circumstances are, does not determine your faith. God's word determines your faith. And God's word can change what others are saying, what you see, and what you're experiencing, and what you're feeling. Amen? So who's ready to believe God? If you're ready to believe God, stand up. The devil's a bully, and we have authority over every bully. Don't let the devil push you around. You can push him around because you have the authority. Now, when a policeman stops a car, does he have the strength within himself to stop that car? But he has something backing him up that gives him the authority. You've got God backing you up when you're in faith. If you're not in faith, you can get in faith. Getting in faith is easy. Hear what God said and believe it. And if your beliefs aren't producing your results, then you got to change what you believe. Right? If what you believe is not producing what you want, then you're going to have to change what you believe. Maybe what you're believing isn't in God's word. Maybe you need to look at what you're believing and to see if that's really what God said. Your belief must line up with God's word. It must be in harmony and agreement. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to move mountains. You have given us the ability to do the impossible. Say this, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible to me because I'm a believer. I believe God. And my belief in God produces good results. I get what I believe for because I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't turn. I'm fixed on Jesus. I'm looking to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So just keep reminding yourself of what God said. If you're bound, what should you say? Why? Because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. If you're poor, what should you say? Why? Because he became poor so that we could become rich. If you're sick, what should you say? Because he said, by his stripes you are healed. If I'm depressed, what should you say? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? If I need a friend, what should you do? Be friendly. If you need a miracle, what should you say? Exactly. You have it. When will I see it and feel it? Don't worry about when you see it and feel it. Just know that you have it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. And guess what? You keep saying it, you're going to have it. You're going to be able to see it and feel it. And once you see it and feel it, you won't need your faith for that anymore because you have it. Amen? You guys are warriors. Father, I give you thanks and praise. Thank you, Father, for the faith that comes from you. Lord, we have faith in God. Lord, that when we have a desire, when we pray, we believe, we receive, and we shall have in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, I just ask, Lord, that your strength comes upon her. Father, strengthen her with might in the inner man by the Holy Ghost. Cause her to be strong in you and in the power of your might, Father. Let that strength, the strength of the Lord, rise up in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her, Father. Strengthen her in Jesus' name. Fill her, Father, till she overflows with strength. Hallelujah. Strengthen her. Oh, yes, Father. I'm laughing because I just saw a spark that lights dynamite. And the dynamite is your miracle. And that means the fuse is lit. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good and gracious. Lord, I just give you thanks and praise. I thank you, Lord, that your faith is active and alive on the inside of them in the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise. It cannot go any other way but the way you said it, Lord. The way you said it, it shall be. It shall be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you need to go, you can go. But if you need God to do something for you, I just feel like I need to pray for people. So if you just need prayer for anything, I'm available to pray for you. And doesn't matter what it's for, God can meet any need. There's no need too great, no need too small. I'm just going to join my faith with yours and believe God. Amen? The Bible says if two or more agree as touching anything, that thing shall be done for them in Jesus' name.